The following is a class given by His Holiness Larompa Swami on chanting of the holy name from the heart, part 1, recorded on 4th July 2008 in Hanover Park, United States.
This is we're celebrating Independence Day. 3 from material existence. That's real freedom. So the theme for this morning's discussion is chanting of the holy name from the heart. Now, begin the discussion, I want to read the verse and part of the purport from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 24. Hearing from Srila Vyasadeva the importance of chanting the holy name to purify the heart and open the heart and to receive Krishna. We know that Krishna is already there. At least theoretically we know that Krishna is already there. But we're not giving our attention to Krishna. We're giving our attention to not Krishna. And so our purpose of gathering together this weekend is to turn our attention to Krishna. Anybody has a cell phone, please you do the needful so we don't... The whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is descriptions of Krishna and all things and all devotees and activities in relation to Krishna. And so naturally it's describing the process of devotional service. And our most essential approach to devotional service is through the chanting of the holy name. So in this chapter 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, the title of the chapter is Pure Devotional Service, because Shukadeva Goswami is describing to Maharaj Parikshit what someone is supposed to do when you receive the human form of life. Like, what are we supposed to do? We, just the other day, we were observing the appearance, the disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his own autobiography that from the time he was 6 years old, and throughout his youth and throughout his young adult life, he was deeply inquiring, he describes. He was pondering again and again and again, what is life? Why are we here? And like most of us, he didn't get any satisfying answer to that question. But he didn't stop. He kept deeply pondering and deeply pondering. So the inquisitiveness of the soul brings one to the same question Maharaj Pariksit was asking. When you receive this human form of life, what are you to do? And particularly, in his case, when facing the moment of death, what are you to do? What is it that you're supposed to do? So, we're supposed to do devotional service. We're supposed to connect ourselves to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in loving activity. And in that description of devotional service, pure devotional service, this nice verse comes. Certainly that heart is steel-framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change with ecstasy. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes, and the hairs stand on end. Prabhupada writes in the purport, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of a living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Vini bhakti, a regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, the legs, as already explained here and before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change in heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed. For it is not melted, even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties, and if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead.
I thought of making this presentation this morning framed in something that Satchinandana Maharaj shared with me. Many of you know Satchinandana Maharaj. Those of you that went to the Festival of Inspiration got some inspiration by his association. And before that event, he shared with me, in New York we met, spent some time. I didn't know this, so I'll share it with you. He's been planning an institute. You know that? He's calling it something like transformation of life. And the model of it is, he has 17 people full-time working, like they're being paid, to prepare the curriculum for this institute. It's like a really serious enterprise. It's not something on the side. It's something he wants to leave behind him that will establish Prabhupada's teachings in a way that worldly people can appreciate Prabhupada's teachings and receive them very palatably, very systematically. So he was describing that he's designed this with four, with his hands he made a holistic approach to understand, in order to achieve what the Bhagavatam or Prabhupada's teachings want to give us. There's the body, the mind, the heart, and the soul. So those of you that attended the Festival of Inspiration, you can recall he had this little flip chart, and on the flip chart was a diagram, and it showed Gopurams, just like you enter into Sri Rangam and there's different gates or Gopurams. You go through seven of them until you enter the place where the deity Ranganath is. So like that, the entrance into the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, or the teachings of the Bhagavatam, or the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, or they enter into the chanting of the holy name. Same. So these, first is the physical. Like, you know, you have to be healthy, and you have to use your lips and your tongue and your lungs and your mouth, and you have to do certain things with your body, like Prabhupada is describing here in the purport. There's the physical act of, like, you know, staying clean and rising early, and the physical part. And then chanting. There's a physical act of chanting. So, and there's the structure, the system that helps support that, the physical system that helps support that. And that's a whole body of what his institute wants to deal with, how to live a Vedic life that's in the mode of goodness. And does physically, does spiritual activity and the connection between spiritual and physical. So sambandha. Then the mind. Go through that gate into the next sanctum. So it's not just chant, but, you know, bring the mind to chanting. Not just physically chant, and the mind is the discipline of bringing the mind to the holy name. Maybe we should just talk about that for 3 days. Work on that for a lifetime. But I chose to start with, later session we'll go back to ways of improving the quality of our chanting, which means, you know, how we bring the mind to Krishna. But the heart also. So the heart, when there's feeling, not just the bringing the mind to the holy name, but chanting with feeling spiritual feelings when chanting the holy name, or feeling at least feelings instead of the mechanical part. And that's a whole body of knowledge in his Transformation of Life Institute. And then the soul. And of course, all of these mean in relation to the personality of Godhead, because they're not, the energies of the Lord are not independent from the Lord. Directly the soul in contact with the personality of Godhead, consciously in contact with the personality of Godhead. One must pass through the region of the heart to get to the platform of the soul. So I spent some time meditating on this nice subject. It is too many nice things to speak about this nice subject. But from the heart. So there. Just I spent some time looking at dictionary. What does dictionary say about from the heart or hearty? What's like, you know, the classic? What is the connotation of that meaning? And there are different things that it says. Some of them are kind of obvious. With genuine feeling, like when we speak about an encounter between one person and another person, and there's really an opening of the heart or an exchange from the heart, it means the connotation, the dictionary describes it this way too. It's very genuine, and it's with real feeling, and there's nothing, there's no distraction. There's nothing else going on. It's absorption. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. Ananya, or Ananya Bhak. As these are both verses from the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna describes, it's very important, what Krishna describes in both of these verses is what he feels when someone approaches him with real feeling. Exclusive. Ananya. Anya means other. Ananya means no other. Chintayanto mam. Chinta. When Prabhupada translates it as one's mind is attached to me. You know, like it's attached. You can't move it, it's attached. Attached. With mind attached to me, but chinta is, it's literally consciousness. Mind attached to me. Then what does Krishna do? Tesham nityam yoktanam yogakshema vahamyam. Krishna reciprocates. Krishna has feelings too. The devotee becomes attached to Krishna. Krishna becomes attached to the devotee. Or Krishna reciprocates with our feelings. Krishna reciprocates with our regard for him. And the chanting from the heart topic is how we extend ourselves and attach ourselves to Krishna. Just same idea, approach from a different perspective. When one of the dictionary definitions of from the heart is sincere, like you really mean it, genuinely mean something. When you say something, you're present, and when you speak it or emote it, it's very, very genuine. It's sincere. So with the dictionary definitions of from the heart, they go into what does sincere mean. So we spent some time this past week discussing what sincere means. Because according to Rupa Goswami, as with anything in the marketplace, in the worldly marketplace, there's a price. You want something, there's a price. So, spiritually speaking, everything that you want, there's a price. And the price for devotional service is the sincere desire to have it. So what is, there's some derivations of this meaning, that, you know, what's behind the meaning of sincere. One explanation that's given is, I've expressed this before, when there's marble that has lines in it, and there's marble that has no lines in it. You've seen marble floors that have patterns. And it's nice patterns, you know. Some pink, some purple, some blue, and some white, and lines. Or sometimes, like in temples, it's common, black and white, like checkerboard kind of thing. But the white ones, they're not pure white. The Didi is pure white, because that's a very special kind of marble. And it costs more. There's more of a price. It's more rare. So the derivation is, in Italy, they have, like in Italy, Macrana is big for marble. So in Italy, they have marble also. And they make marble statues. So there's the quality of marble is one of the conditions, one of the criteria is how many lines there are in it. If you want a statue, you don't want lots of lines in it. You want pure, one color. So Siede means with lines, and sincere means with no lines. It's just one thing. That's where it, so it's the pure thing. But connect that with from the heart. It's just one thing. Ananya. Just one thing. That's very difficult for us in this very complicated material society that we're, you know, life that we live. There's so many, 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 so many things we have to do. So complicated. And the more you become proficient at it, the more complicated it gets. The more complicated, the more complicated, the more. So, how with these complicated applications of things in life, do you just like fold it all up and just do one thing? And we're multi-processing all the time. All the time. We're like rewarded for being good at multi-processing things. But when chanting from the heart is one thing, sincere. Another example that's given in the dictionary is statues. It's Latin. So it comes from the Latin derivation is when they would make statues, and sometimes there'd be chips in the, when making the statue, or chips in the marble, they put wax. And so it looks like there's no chip in the marble. So sin again means without wax. It's just marble. It doesn't like look like the real thing, but it isn't the real thing. It's the real thing. The real thing. You know, the, like, you know, the adolescent spirit of I want what's really real. Right? I don't want this phony stuff. You know, call a bad name, so many people that are doing phony stuff, and I want the really real thing. Ravindra Superbu used to wear a t-shirt, War on Illusion. We want the really real thing. This was during the straight edge, you know, he had a number of disciples that were in straight edge bands, and we want the real War on Illusion. So, but find it, good luck. But it, you can find it only in that which is pure, and the holy name is pure. So part of the teaching, this comes in the next section, you know, how to improve the quality of chanting is the next section, but part of that is to recognize that the holy name is pure. In this world, what can you find that's pure? Think about it. We don't have to spend too much time thinking about it, because literatures are filled with it. know, the foods that you eat, the milk that you drink, the air that you breathe, the water that you drink, you know, where do you find something that's pure? But the holy name is pure. It's untouched by anything human. We can't spoil it. We can spoil nature, but we can't spoil the holy name. And so, a from the heart desire to have that which is pure and nothing adulterating, that which is pure, is part of what it means to call the holy name, to chant the holy name with purity, or chant from the heart. I'm going to come back to this thought and go a little sidebar over here for a few moments on what Lord Kapila Dev says to Devahuti in the third canto, chapter 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Devahuti, this is a quick overview of chapter 25. Devahuti, the chapter begins, glorifying her son, because she recognizes, you're not my son, you're unborn, and yet you're born, just like Kunti describes in her prayers. He was unborn, becomes born, and it's bewildering. Devahuti says, you're the source of everything. And my consciousness is contaminated by my desires to enjoy the senses, and therefore I can't properly discriminate. But you're free from that covering. What's happening?
Can't grow the sun.
Put it here. Right here. Make sure you cover his eyes too, because he.
Going up.
How tall are you? Okay, back to the. Lord Kapila Dev. So she requests Lord Kapila Dev to describe that process where she can know him fully, know the Supreme Personality and Godhead fully. Can you describe that process to me? So he says yes. And he begins the process by describing the liberated and the conditioned living entity. The liberated, the conditioned living entity is attracted to the modes of nature. And the liberated living entity is attracted to the personality of Godhead. This is this ananya. Where there's ananya, where there's attraction to the personality of Godhead, there's no attraction. We're not experiencing that. We're experiencing lots of attraction for material and trying some attraction for spiritual, for Krishna, for the holy name. So he says the process of yoga, of all the processes of yoga linking with the Supreme, the process of devotion is the best. And devotion implies with feeling, from the heart, with love. Because he describes the mechanical process of yoga can restrain the senses, but the heart doesn't become satisfied and pure Only when the heart becomes satisfied and pure can there be full happiness in one's relationship with the Supreme. And then it's a very natural process and a complete process. So it's beyond just the mind or the senses. It then goes to the heart, devotional process. And when that devotional process of linking with the Supreme becomes matured, then the personality of Godhead, because of his supreme pure position, he completely slackens, reduces, and eliminates that material attraction, the attraction for the modes of nature. It subsides. Then he describes, and then devotional service begins. Meaning, pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is what we've been speaking about. Because devotional service means pure devotional service. Rupa Goswami's definition is, when he describes what the topic of nectar of devotion is, he describes it as pure. Right from the get-go, devotional service means pure devotional service. Anyabhilashata shunyam jnana karma janavritam. Without karma and jnana, without fruitive interest or speculative knowledge, just serving the personality of Godhead favorably. Bhakti or uttama. Bhakti means uttam bhakti. It means pure. So where are sadhakas? Back to what Prabhupada has written here. There's the vidhi. That's like, you know, the physical part. We do. And we avoid the don'ts. The physical part. And then the mind. We bring the mind to Krishna. It goes away. Bring the mind to Krishna. Then the heart. With calling upon, because to go, to be effective with bringing the mind to Krishna, there has to be some calling upon Krishna with genuine feeling. There's the effort on our part, and there's depending upon Krishna part, calling upon Krishna. Two quotes from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati Thakur. I'll attribute one of them to hearing them from Satyanandan Swami, that Bhaktisiddhanta said that chanting is not lip deep, it's heart deep. Then there's another description that from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati Thakur, that you